Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. For the past few weeks, I've been teaching on the subject of child rearing. Much of our teaching has focused on early training of younger children. Last Sunday, I began preparing your older children and teens for some of the temptations that they will face in the world. Particularly, we talked about the appetite of fornication and the grip that it will get in your child's life if he once tastes it. Now, fornication is the unlawful or illegitimate use of sex. Remember, sex is not wrong. In its right place, sex is the gift of God and will be blessed by Him, but it has boundaries. That is, holy matrimony between a man and a woman. Scripture says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, Hebrews 13:4. Outside of the instinct for survival, sex between a man and his spouse is perhaps the most intense desire that God has placed in the heart of man. God did this so that the human race would continue to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He also did it to bond a husband and wife together in a relationship of intimacy. But this desire for physical intimacy is not the only instinct that man has. He also has a powerful appetite inherited from the federal head of the human race, Adam. And that appetite is to rebel against God, Isaiah chapter 14. When man engages in physical sex outside of the perimeters that God has specified to bless, man combines these two awesome appetites, the craving for physical relationship with the craving to rebel against God. We call that the appetite of fornication. It is a beast inside of a man that demands to be fed and satisfied. As a result, the physical relationship inside of marriage can never totally satisfy a man or a woman who have tasted this appetite. Once they've tasted this illegitimate, unlawful use of the sexual relationship, normal sex inside of marriage has only half of the exhilaration. The rebellion against God is gone. Their minds and their bodies crave that exhilaration that they first felt outside of God's perimeters. As a result, men resort to all kinds of deviations from God's plan to satisfy this appetite. They engage in everything from extramarital affairs to perversion to try to satisfy the beast that lives in them. They say they're trying to spice up their marriage, but in fact, they're trying to feed the appetite of fornication that they developed the first time that they stepped outside of God's boundaries. And believe me, in this society, multiplied thousands of people are dealing with this problem right now. That's why Paul warned, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. When a man commits fornication, he sins against his body by introducing it to this unnatural appetite, the appetite of fornication. Listen, friends, God created you with the instinct to make physical love to your spouse. He created you with the instinct to procreate, but He did not create you with the desire for fornication. You did that to yourself the first time that you stepped outside of His boundaries. Now, I've reviewed for you the definition of fornication. And I've identified the appetite of fornication and how it's developed. Any thinking man can see this is a real problem. Many thinking men today have recognized this appetite in their own minds and bodies. And godly thinking men do not want this appetite to gain a foothold in their children. So, it behooves those of us who love our children to identify this problem for them, to warn them against it, and to try and inoculate them against it. Last Sunday, I told about our 16-year-old son who discovered a Playboy magazine in a field that he was plowing. When he recognized it was pornography, he plowed it under with the 8630 John Deere that he was driving. Later, he thanked his mother and myself for preparing him for such temptations, and we praised God that he had listened to our instruction. Today, I would like to share with you some of the instruction that we gave him. First of all, start with the basics. You need to get your family in a good Bible-preaching church where the Word of God is preached, where the principles of right and wrong are identified, where sin is made exceedingly sinful, and where a godly example is exhibited in the lives of the preacher and the people. Get your children in Sunday school by the time they're 2 years of age. Keep them there every Sunday. Sit with them in church and make going to church the most important activity of the week. Secondly, have family devotions. Read sacred scripture to your children until they're familiar with all of the important passages. And if you don't know where to read, most Bible-believing churches have devotional guides available free of charge. Many ministries offer devotional books either free of charge or at a small price, but get in the Word of God. Hold it up as authoritative to your children. Make them to know that it's the authority in your life and that it should be in theirs. Third, win them to Christ. Of course, they must come to the age of accountability first, and they can only be saved by an action of their own free will. But it is the parents' responsibility to expose them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Show them that the gospel teaches that God is a holy God, that all men are sinners, including them. They're little sinners, but sinners just the same. And there's a penalty for their sin, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin debt, and that they can be saved by repenting of their sin and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Again and again, children should be confronted with these truths. One day, conviction of the Holy Spirit will dawn on them, and they will decide to receive Him. But know this, a child must be saved before he will be capable of any of the spiritual strength that'll be needed to stand up to temptation, especially the temptation of fornication. After you win your child to Christ, you must teach him that his body is sacred. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul. What? Know ye not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The child must know that when he gets saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside his body. This makes his body a holy place. To contaminate it by joining it with a harlot, and that's how Paul described fornication, to contaminate it would be the same as Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificing a swine on the altar in the age of the Maccabeans. It defiles the temple and it's noisome in the nostrils of God. No wonder Paul said in verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." In other words, defiling the temple with fornication will bring destruction or chastisement upon the believer. What a dreadful thing. Next, children need to be taught the right way in marriage from an early age. The Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20 form a syllabus for teaching biblical principles to our children. When they are young, teach them the first five commandments. That will teach them the right views of who God is, of reverence to His name, of respect for the Sabbath day, and of honor to parents who are God's vehicles for teaching truth and His authority in the home. Then they need to learn the sixth commandment, which will give them reverence for the sanctity of human life. Then they need to learn the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." This commandment will teach them the sanctity of marriage. Teach them that God's plan for marriage is seen in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, with Adam and Eve. His plan was one man for one woman for one lifetime. Now, the law of first mention dictates that this was his perfect plan, for once man got involved, the institution of marriage deteriorated. You begin to see polygamy and many other abuses, even in the lives of great men like Abraham and Jacob, David and Solomon. But in the New Testament, we find that God once again directed the New Testament church back to monogamy, when he told pastors and deacons that they must be the husband of one wife as a qualification for ministry. Of course, this was meant to serve as an example to the rest of the church that every man should be the husband of only one wife. I'm tempted to get into divorce and remarriage here, but I'll pass on that subject for now. So, children need to be taught that the body of a Christian is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that to defile the body is to invite the chastisement of God, that God's plan for marriage is one man for one woman for one lifetime. And at this point, it's wise for parents to begin teaching their children how to stand alone in this old world. They need to know how to stand against temptation. A good verse is 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." This verse tells us that every man is faced with the same temptations. Temptations are common to all men. It tells us that God is faithful. He will not let a temptation be bigger than our ability to resist. This destroys the myth of the devil made me do it. It guarantees that from every temptation there's a way to escape, just as Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. God has promised it. God has designed an escape hatch through which we can flee if we will. God's plan is for us to bear temptations in victory, and each temptation makes us stronger to face the next temptation. Praise the Lord. Once children have memorized 1 Corinthians 10:13 and taken it into their thought pattern and into their belief system, once they've accepted the fact that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they belong to God and not to themselves, then they'll be ready for you to teach them about fornication and the appetite of fornication. Now, all this presupposes that they're old enough to know about the facts of life. I'll caution you not to tell them more than they need to know at an appropriate age. But I will also warn you that between the public school, their unspiritual friends, and the television set, they know far more than you think, far sooner than you think. So, don't wait too long to begin. There are other steps which I could enumerate for you, such as how to keep a pure thought life, but my time is gone for today. I hope this has been a blessing and a challenge. May God bless you in your child-rearing efforts. My prayer is that He will empower you in your attempts with the aid and by the aid of His blessed Holy Spirit. Have a good day, and God bless.
You've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.